Thanks, Stuart. Awesome. Good morning. Nice. Oh, the sun is shining. Look at that. Praise the Lord. Should we pray and ask the Lord to speak to us by His Holy Spirit? Father, thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for drawing our eyes to the cross of Jesus again this morning. We thank you for that beautiful word brought to us there by Tony and what you're doing here with your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit. You are our teacher, and we ask you, Holy Spirit of God, to come now and to bless every heart and to open every heart to you. We ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would move us and set us free and change us and feed us and bless us. Lord, we thank you for your words, that they are life, and we ask you in the name of Jesus to help us receive them this morning. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to continue with Joseph, with Joseph's life. So if you've got your Bible, have a look at Genesis chapter 39. If you haven't got your Bibles, don't worry, you can just listen. I just want to share one verse from a couple of verses from Psalm 105 first, which is just absolutely awesome psalm, but it mentions Joseph. It just gives us a little bit of insight into the reality of the slavery he was suffering. Up to now, this is what's happened. Joseph, we'll read this now, Tony. Okay. Just read you this verse first. He called down famine on the land and destroyed all their supplies of food. But he sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons. Till what he foretold came to pass. Till the word of the Lord proved him true. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people set him free. Made him master of his household. Ruler over all he possessed. To discipline his princes as he pleased. And teach his elders wisdom. Just that little bit there. He sent a man ahead of them. This was God's doing. Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles. Not quite like the cartoon, where it's all ropes and stuff. No, slavery then was what it was later. It was iron. It was shackles. There was iron around your neck. It said the shackles, his neck was put in irons. And the word there, actually the Hebrew word there, the neck is soul. His soul was put in irons. One of the versions says, one of the very accurate versions says, the iron entered his soul. Wow. I love that. That's the effect of 13 years of slavery on Joseph, psychologically, emotionally. The iron entered his soul. He was shaped by it, affected by it. But actually, do you know what? He was shaped by God by it. He was shaped through his sufferings to be able to serve God. And that's absolutely true of you and me. Unless God shapes you, and he doesn't always use gentle hands, he uses lots of different ways to shape us and form us and make us like Jesus. And when he does, then he can awesomely use us. We're coming to the real testing part of Joseph's life. Joseph is in his testing part. Let's read how he does here. He's gone down there to Egypt in shackles and iron, sold by his brothers, rejected by his brothers. Must have been absolutely devastated. Never sees his mother again in his life. Doesn't see his father for at least 13 years. But do you know what? He's all right. Because of this continual phrase that you'll read in this chapter. And that is this phrase. But the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. He can be in all sorts of terrible trouble. He can be in prison. He can be going through divorce. He can be rejected. He can be hated. He can be sacked. You can be battered, but if the Lord is with you, you'll be all right, and you'll come out on top. This is Exodus 39. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian, who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who'd taken him there.
The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he didn't need to concern himself with anything except his food. Now Joseph was well-built and handsome, and after a while, his master's wife noticed Joseph and said to him, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master doesn't concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns is entrusted to my care. No one's greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you're his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even to be with her. One day, he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants were inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he'd left his cloak in her hand and had run, she called her household servants. "Look," she said, "this Hebrew's been brought to us to mock us. He came here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave you bought has come here to make mockery of us. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me." He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and threw him in prison, the prison where the king's prisoners were kept. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed kindness to him and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all the others in the prison, and he made him responsible for everything that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph, and he gave him success in whatever he did. Amen. Amen. It's hard to go through things like that, but when the Lord's with you, you can do it. Joseph's been tested. He's been tested in a few different areas. These are areas where you will definitely be tested. God's going to trust Joseph with amazing power, and he wants him to be able to handle that power without it destroying him. So he gives him a character, well, helps him form his character through suffering and through pressure and through trouble. And Joseph succeeds. I mean, he comes out with flying colors. Not everyone does in the Bible. As you read the Bible stories, obviously you see people like Joseph fall into adultery. You see people failing with money, failing with what's entrusted to them, getting glory for themselves. Joseph is one of those few people in the Bible. I mean, I think there's Joseph and Daniel. I can't think of any others who just saw. Well, no, he didn't saw. It was painful, but he succeeded. He got through by the grace of God and won And in that, he became a picture of our Jesus. It's only one man who's never sinned, ever, in his thought, in his heart, in his life. And that's our beautiful Lord Jesus. It's only one awesome person, the Son of God. That's why it's his blood that sets you free today. It's his blood that makes you pure. It's his victory that we receive and are enabled to overcome in our own lives and win in all these tests. You can win in the game of life. You can win. You can win the tests that God sends you. You can win the tests that life brings you if the Lord is with you. And if you're with Jesus and in him, the Lord is with you. So you can overcome. Okay, how was he tested? He was tested in his service, actually. In his attitude to work, he was tested. And that's somewhere we'll be tested as well. Joseph was tested because he was a slave. And he could have had a very different attitude to the one he had. I mean, he'd had his life taken away from him. He had no rights. He had no power. But it didn't stop him doing the best he could do in the position he was in. Even though he was a nothing, he did his best, trusted God, and became something. Even though he was a slave, that's amazing. He had an amazing attitude to his master. He could have hated his master. He bought him. He owned him. He was nothing, but he didn't. He trusted God and served his master the best he could. That's a very good attitude to have. That is an attitude that enables you to have joy even when you're in suffering, that enables you to overcome. And there's lots to be said about that. You know, he could have thought, well, he's Egyptian, he's a slaver, I get paid nothing. I don't know what you get paid at work, but Joseph, he get paid nothing. Nothing, yet he worked hard and served, trusting that in the end, God would do him right. I wonder if that's our attitude towards work. I don't know what your attitude is to your boss. Your boss might be a nightmare. He might be, he's not a Christian. He's an idiot, or he doesn't know God. He doesn't know anything. He treats us rubbish. He pays us rubbish. You might have a rotten attitude to your boss. No matter what your boss is like, here's the truth. If you want success, if you want the Lord to be with you, serve your boss. Because actually, you're serving the Lord. That is what the Bible teaches from cover to cover. Let me assure you, it is. Let me tell you what Paul said to people who were slaves in his day. Let me read you it. I mean, slavery continued. There was still iron. There were still shackles. There were still chains. And lo and behold, Jesus came, died, resurrected. The church is born. The church is on fire. The church was filled with people telling everyone about Jesus. And some of them were free people and some of them were slaves. We'd have a congregation here today and a handful of us would be slaves. We'd be owned by other people. I mean, it's absolutely evil, but it was a fact of society in the day where Paul lived. And this is what he said to the slaves. He said, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it not only when their eye is on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. You're working for the Lord, not men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. That's what he told the Christian slaves of those days. And you know what? You're not a slave if you're an employee. You might feel like it sometimes, but you're not. And you know, whatever your boss is like, he's the truth. If you're faithful, if you work hard as a believer, God sees you. If you have a right attitude, not just when he's looking, but when he isn't looking, God will bless you and make you successful. And he can move you on. But until then, you need to learn a lesson that laziness is evil. And it will rob you of many, many things. And you need to repent of it and have a genuine heart of hard work. We don't live for work, but we know that our work is valuable to God and we work. Jesus said, let us do the work of him who sent me. So he was faithful in work. He was also faithful. Well, he was faithful as a slave. Do you know what? Here's some ways we can be faithful. Faithful in work. The other thing I was thinking about is, you know, faithful in the church, serving, and so on. Oh, let me read you this little scripture as well. So I think this is really important to Jesus. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. He says, "Whoever can be trusted with a very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with a very little will also be dishonest with much. If you're not trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will give you true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own?" It's interesting. There's Jesus saying, be faithful with money, be faithful with other people's stuff, and you'll get your own. That's Jesus' teaching. Are you being faithful with the money God has given you or not? Can you be trusted with a very little bit of money? Or does it just not matter to you? Is there some thieves in the house? I mean, a Christian can be a thief, it's easy. You keep things that aren't yours, you take extra things at work, you fiddle your tax, that doesn't matter. Oh, the government will never know. Oh, da, 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 da. Listen, brothers and sisters, there's no place for that in Christianity. None. We serve the God of truth, and we trust him to provide for us. So, absolutely, be faithful with a little bit of money, and God will give you true treasures. That's just Jesus' teaching. And you be faithful with other people's stuff. Oh, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, even stuff in here. That's the church's. Well, that's yours. Oh, it doesn't matter. It just don't have that attitude. It matters. We teach that to our kids, do you? Teach to your kids. Oh, sorry, broke it again. I bought that. I'm going to kill you. You know? I worked for that. Somebody worked for that. That's their life. They represent that. That represents their life. The money that you give to the Lord is spent here, and it matters. It represents your life. You're not putting money in there. You're putting life. You worked a certain number of hours for that, didn't you? You're not going to spend it on yourself because it's gone. It's called worship. That's worship to the Lord. It matters. So treat other people's stuff as though it really, really matters. And you know what? This is just the path of success in life. The biblical path of being blessed. Be faithful at work. Be faithful with stuff. Be faithful in the church. You know, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. With gladness. If you're on a rota, and we have lots of rotas in this church, we are Rota Christian Fellowship. We are amazing rota. And do you know what? But it's not about rotas, it's about what those rotas do. And if you're serving in the church, here's some advice for you that will help you grow and help you have joy in your life. Serve the Lord with gladness. You're not serving me. You're not serving the leaders. Rubbish. You're not serving the church. Who's the church? You're the church. Oh, the church will sort it. Good, go on then. You're the church. Why doesn't the church do something about this? Yeah, why don't you? It's you. We're the church. But when we serve here, we're serving the Lord. Whatever you do here, you're looking after those babies in there in Jesus' name, for Jesus, and you'll be blessed as you do it. You'll have gladness. You're looking after the children because that's what Jesus has asked you to do. Well, don't do it. You don't have a sense that God is, if you're doing it with a moaning attitude, that's really bad. Don't serve the Lord with an attitude. Rather don't. Jesus said, I want you to be red hot. I'd rather you be cold, but don't be lukewarm. Some of you, whatever, I'll do a bit. Forget it. Jesus isn't interested. Anyone who's in the middle like that, Jesus had nothing to do with them. I'll follow you, Lord, but I'll just go for it. Oh, don't bother. Right, you follow me. He just, Jesus has, someone said, all or nothing. That's how you serve the Lord. Is that how you're serving today? On your rotas? Is that how you're serving? Not just on rotas. Life's bigger than rotas. Outside of rotas. What you're doing for the Lord is for him. It matters. It's spiritual. And it really matters. Serve the Lord. So be faithful in work. Be faithful in serving the Lord in the church. Be faithful at home as well. Dads, don't escape your responsibility as parent, as dads, right? On all your gadgets and all, you know, hiding away. I'll just watch another DVD. I'll be with you in a minute. There's something coming on Sky. Listen, don't escape from your responsibility. Young mothers, don't escape from your responsibility. If you've had a baby, guess what God's will is in your life for the next 2 years? It's to raise that little baby. That's God's will for you. Don't run from that. I've got to get in the meeting. I've got to get where the action is. Listen, the action is where the will of God for your life is. If you run away from your responsibilities, you're running away from the will of God. I'll get in the meeting. You can if you like, but God's not there for you. Because you're meant to be looking after your little baby. And do you know what? God is there for you. God will be there for you. Don't run away from your responsibilities. Serve in your house. Serve. Be a husband who serves your wife and does housework and looks after her and loves her. Be a wife who serves your husband and loves him and cooks for him and all the rest and massages him and all that. Whatever you want to do. But you know what? Don't get super spiritual here. God is with you in your life. You live it with him. And if you don't, you are sadly, sadly mistaken. And you just won't grow. I love that story of a lady who came to John Wesley in the height of the revival. She was full of the Holy Spirit and on fire. She wrote him a letter. She said, I'm absolutely convinced God's called me to preach the word of God. I'm on fire for it. But I have a problem. I have 12 children. John Wesley wisely wrote her a letter back and said, my dear lady, I'm absolutely delighted that God has called you to preach the word of God. I'm even more delighted that he's already given you your congregation. Don't get super spiritual, will you? It's in life these things are worked out. God's with you in your life. Here's a scripture for you if you have young children. We've had it for years because we've had young children for years. We've had 9 kids. Most people don't know what that means. If you've got a family of 3 here, times it by 3 and tremble. Okay? So we've had young children for a long time. Here's a scripture that's been close to our hearts for years and decades. The Lord gently leads those that have young. He doesn't drive you. He doesn't drive his sheep, this good shepherd. He gently leads you and he'll speak to you and meet you and use you as you do the right thing. Mothers, do the right thing. Wives, do the right thing. Husbands, fathers, do the right thing. And God will be with you. You'll be blessed. You'll have joy. Because joy comes with serving. He was faithful in service. When he got in that prison, he just did the best he could so he was noticed. So God gave him favor. So he was raised up. So he was in charge. Joseph, you can be in charge of Egypt. Well, not until you've been in charge of a prison. Not till you've been in charge. If you can do it in a prison, you can do it in a palace. If you can't do it in a prison, why should I let you do it in a palace? Faithful in little, faithful in much. Some people are waiting for some great day to come for them. No, I believe I'm called to be on this platform. That's fantastic. Try hoovering it first. Get used to it. So you feel comfortable up here. If you can't serve, if you can't do some menial tasks, there's nothing menial actually for God. David, King David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the palaces of the wicked. Just inside the door will do me, Lord. That's his heart. God said, oh, man after my own heart. How about being king? Oh. God raises up people who have that kind of heart. Now, do you know what? You don't have this heart naturally. I know you don't, because you're a human being. And so am I. We have a natural heart that leads toward pride and selfishness and laziness. That's us. But here's good news, guys. Jesus is willing to give you a new heart. And if you ask him, he'll do it. And fill you with his Holy Spirit. And fill you with the joy of serving others. And set you free from yourself. Secondly, he was faithful with his sexuality. And this is a test that all of us, if you're going to serve the Lord, there's a test that you absolutely
have to pass. And this is the battle that you can absolutely win. There's no condemnation for you in Jesus Christ. But there is victory. Right? Don't get the condemnation, but please come and get the victory, won't you? Come and collect purity this morning from Jesus. Jesus was a real man. Says he was tempted in every way that we are, everywhere. And he lived a life as a perfect, sinless man. That victory, that righteousness, he gives as a gift to those who ask for it. A gift. And the Holy Spirit was saying that this morning to Stuart about drinking this water or that water. Would you like to be pure? Would you like to be holy? You know what? Who wouldn't like to be holy? But you can't make it happen. You have to come to the Lord and receive it. And this morning, one of the things the Holy Spirit's going to do is set people free from immorality and give you the gift of purity. Anyone up for that? Yes! Some of us are so used to immorality, we actually don't know whether we are up for it. Because we're so bound to this idol. But Jesus' blood is going to set you free this morning. I'm absolutely sure of it. Here's what... Here's how Joseph overcame. It's a good little three ways to overcome. He rebuked it, he refused it, and he ran from it. I mean, that's pretty good advice. First of all, he rebuked it. He called it sin. Adultery, affairs, sexual immorality is sin. And it is a very wicked thing. That's just a fact. Face it. Whatever the world says, whatever magazines say, whatever, well, everyone does it. Well, it was an affair. There's no word affair in the Bible. Adultery is the word. Immorality. There's no, he's my boyfriend, we're living together. It's called fornication. Sex outside of marriage is called fornication. It's sin. And so if you want to follow Jesus, you're so welcome. We have to repent of it. We have to call it what it is. It's not an amazing relationship. It is a wicked thing. It's sin. Joseph said to her, how could I do this wicked thing and sin against God? See, he was God conscious. No one can see me. No one's in the house. No one will know. God knows. God knows. And that's all that matters. And it would have ruined him there. He would have, well, we don't know what the story would have happened. You know, the mercy of God might have picked him up like it did David. But David's life was very different afterwards. We have to call it what it actually is. Let me read you 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Oh no, sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Flee from sexual immorality. All of the sins a man commits are outside of his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You're not your own. You were bought with a price. So honor God with your body. That's the New Testament standards. First of all, he rebuked it. He called it what it was. Do not live by the world's standards. Here's what Psalm 1 says. Blessed is he who does not walk in the counsel of the world. Right? You don't get the counsel of the wicked. You don't get your sexual advice online. You know that, don't you? You don't get your sexual standards from this world. If you do, you will be lost in it. Because the world is changing. And what used to be in sex shops is now in Tesco's toilets. And all the bells and smells and potions and lotions and all that. Listen, you listen to God. And you honour God with your body. You ask the Holy Spirit to show you what he wants you to do with your body. And you do that if you want to follow the Lord. You can't get your wisdom from this world or you'll be lost with it. Blessed is the person who does not take his counsel from the wicked. So you don't look there for your sexual standards and advice. You look here! To the one who created it, the one who knows how it works best, safest, happiest, God. That's the way.
Secondly, so he rebuked it, and we want to rebuke it and call it sin, because it is. We want to refuse it. We absolutely just have to refuse it and say no. He said no. That's the word the devil's most scared of. No. And you know what? Unless you're free, you can't say no. That's why God's going to set some of you free, many of us, I'm sure, free this morning. You refuse it by setting boundaries in your life. Pornography is a major fiery test for the church now, in a way that it wasn't. Why? Because of the internet. So what used to be in sex shops and far away from us is now in our hands, guys, every day, on our little devices. And you know what? And ladies, you might think, well, I'm all right, I'm free. That's fine. I hope your husband is, and I hope your sons are, and your daughters are, because many children are defiled by the filth that they see on our devices. So watch it and draw boundary lines and refuse it in your life. If you want to walk with God, this is what it means. Listen, if you fall into pornography, in one sense, big deal, repent, draw lines, shut doors, and get out of it. That's for all the guys, and maybe some of the ladies too. But God wants to set you free from impurity, and you need to be real with him and refuse it. Refuse it. If you can't control the internet, it will control you. And you'll live a mediocre, naff little Christian life of, sorry I failed, instead of an awesome, victorious, sin-conquering life that you can have in Jesus for free, if you're real and straight. So, you know what? You have to draw your own boundaries and hear the Lord for your own lives, but we just got to be brave and do it. My good friend Peter Conroy, when he was younger, we were like best friends and prayer partners. We'd be praying every night. He was the manager of a newsagents, Finley's newsagents. And, you know, I mean, those days, there wasn't internet and stuff. But he refused pornography in his shop. He was the manager of a newsagent. And, you know, I used to go and see him, used to pray in his shop and meet each other for lunch and go and evangelize in the park and stuff. We were absolutely on fire for God when we were younger. Don't know what happened, but anyway. And then we, you know, I'd go and see him and there'd be piles of pornography all strapped up and that, all ready to go back. I said, do you just send all that stuff back? He said, yeah. I said, oh, yeah, I'll look after it for you. No, I didn't. I said, you know what? I said, don't you get in trouble? He says, well, sort of. He says, the area manager says, you know, why haven't you got anything on your top shelf? And why aren't you going to sell pornography and all this? And he said, I just say to him, oh, it just brings trouble in the shop. Because it does bring some trouble in the shop. You know, young lads come in, there's trouble. They knock over my crisps. You're like laughing at me, you know. Okay. I said, oh, good move, yeah. And so then the Daily Sport came out. And those of you, some of you will know, the Daily Sport's a daily newspaper. There's just pornography, really, in it. But it's a daily newspaper. Now, for a newsagent to refuse a daily newspaper, you're talking about something different. So Pete was in trouble. And he sent all them back. All the Daily Sport newspapers wouldn't put them out. And we used to pray about it. He said, oh, the area manager's coming. You know, I'm going to get in trouble. It's going to be a big deal and all that. I'm going to lose my job. And he was a little bit worried about his mortgage, but he didn't really like the job anyway, so he was up for losing it if he needed to. And the area manager came and he said to him, why are you sending all these newspapers back? And he said, because it's just filth, I'm not selling it. He said, it's not your decision to make. You're working for us. These are our shops. You put those newspapers out. He said, I won't. He said, I'm a Christian and I think it's evil and I'm not doing it. So, there. And he said, are you telling me you're willing to lose your job over this issue? Pete said, yeah. The guy said, oh, well, send them back then. If you feel like that about it. No problem, send them back. Thank you, Jesus. Well done, Pete. But you know what? More than that, that started discussions with the area managers. And the area managers got together, and here's what they did. They took all the pornography out of all the newsagents in this area. That's what they did. Through Pete Conroy's stand against evil and drawing a line and saying it's evil, it's wicked, I'm not doing it, I'm a Christian. He could have been sacked. That would have been one way to go. Hey, if he'd have been sacked, do you think the Lord would have been with him? Yes. The Lord is with you when you do the right thing.
He'd got a better job, but instead, he changed the whole of those news agents. There was only a small news agent company, they had about 12 news agents, that took all the porn out of all of it, and they called themselves then, they changed the name, Finley's, the family news agents. And then years later, Pete Conroy got called into full-time ministry as evangelist. He's an awesome evangelist. He's going to come preach Evers on Sunday night. But, and then, you know, I went back in his shop one day, a few years after he'd gone, his porn on the top. We're the salt of the earth, aren't we? We're the light of the world. As long as we're here, shining, holding it, you can hold ground. But if we move out, the darkness is there, it comes back. We have to take a stand, brothers and sisters. So what about you in your own heart and life? Where are you going to draw the boundaries? What are you going to live with? What are you going to accept? Or are you just going to be radical? Like Jesus. Because you can, if you want to be. Lastly, he just ran from it. This is awesome advice, and it's very unusual for the Bible, I tell you. Very unusual advice. There's only a couple of times in the Bible you're ever told to run. I mean, for instance, the devil, you're never told to run from the devil. Resist the devil and he'll run from you, it says. Resist the devil, firm in your faith, he'll run from you. But when it comes to sexual immorality, Paul says, oh, just run. Get your trainers on and go out. Get out of that relationship, get out of that house, get out of that life, get out of that situation. Just run for God. That's what Paul says. Flee from sexual immorality. And if you need to do some running, just do some running. Famous Saint Augustine, he's one of the early church fathers, lived a life of absolute immorality and debauchery for years. His mother was devastated. She was one of the key members in the early church. His mother prayed for him. Saint Monica prayed for him and prayed for him and prayed for him. Prayed for him. Eventually, when he was in his 30s, I think, he got saved. Wonderfully saved. Absolutely on fire for God. And he was just known everywhere in that part of North Africa lived. And he was walking down the road one day, his famous story, and one of his old women saw him, you know. I don't think she was old, but one of his old flames, and said, Augustine! And he saw her, and he just started running. He just ran. She said, Augustine, it's me! He said, yeah, but it's not me! It's not me! Is that you? I used to do that. It's not me, though, anymore. I'm not who I was. I'm following Jesus. I'm not that me. I'm this me. I'm going to be this me. And if that means running, if that means moving, if that means whatever it means, I'm following Jesus. For Joseph, it had a huge cost. I mean, he didn't lose his job. Well, he did. He lost it. Life was just looking up for him. I'm a slave, but you're absolutely in the worst prison in Egypt. These are Pharaoh's prisoners. These are political prisoners, these guys are on death row. You're in there, mate. You're never coming out. Unless, of course, the Lord is with you. Listen, if you fail sexually and you feel all super, I mean, who hasn't failed sexually? But I'm talking about if you're covered in shame and guilt this morning, I just want to encourage you. It doesn't matter to God where you've been. What matters is where you're going and how he's going to use your life. Do you understand? So he's two Marys. He's Mary, the mother of Jesus, a virgin, and she's encounters God when she's a young virgin, purest of the pure, gives birth to Jesus, married to Joseph. I mean, this is, you know, it's Little House on the Prairie, isn't it? She's pure, she's clean, she stays that way, she's with Jesus all her life, follows Jesus, serves Jesus. She's in the upper room, Pentecost. What a wonderful life. There's another Mary called Mary Magdalene. She's full of demons. She was a prostitute. She's full of sexual immorality and abuse and evil. No one's born a prostitute. You end up that way through all sorts of abuse and pressure and trouble and choices. And she's absolutely full of hell, full of hell. You know what? No matter, no different. Those two Marys, I just mentioned name and name, neck and neck all the way through. They followed Jesus, Mary and Mary. They followed Jesus, Mary and Mary. They were there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene, and Mary Magdalene, and Mary Magdalene. She was a significant, awesome woman in the early church. Because Jesus cast all those seven demons out. And the blood of Jesus sets you free. No matter what your past is,
Even today, you can be sat there in absolute chains. It doesn't matter. The blood of Jesus will set you free today. And you can be a Mary Magdalene, the other half one, who is on fire for God and is a church shaker, mighty woman of God, friend of Jesus, friend of Mary, on fire. That's you. That's who you actually are. So be it. And lastly, this, and then we'll have some prayer. So he was tested in service and succeeded. He was tested with sexuality, and he was tested with the spirituality. It's only a simple one, but it's just this. He just stayed with God. Whatever happened for Joseph, whether he was a slave, rejected by his family, tempted, falsely accused of rape, whatever happened to him, he just stayed with God, crying out to God, reaching God, looking to God. That's what he did. He just stayed there. And that's how you do it. You don't have to feel good. And you might experience some terrible injustice. Everyone might be against you. But God isn't against you. God is with you. And if you trust him, he can work out his plan through all these tests and troubles and trials and prisons and whatever it is. Because it said over and over again, the Lord showed him kindness, the Lord was with him, the Lord gave him favor. And you know what? Whatever's going on in your life, let me tell you something, it's absolutely true. God knows what he's doing. And if you can trust him, then you've won. All bets are off. You've absolutely won if you can just trust him. No matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're going through. Because actually, he does know what he's doing. But sometimes it doesn't look like he knows what he's doing. It doesn't feel like he knows what he's doing. But he knows what he's doing. And only when you look back, you're able to see, oh, God knew what he was doing. And that's the truth. The truth of Joseph's life. Because he's the truth of Joseph's life. If he wasn't a slave, he'd have never gone to Egypt. And if he was never in Egypt, a slave in Egypt, he'd have never been bought by Potiphar, who was one of Pharaoh's top guys. And if he wasn't bought by Potiphar, he couldn't have been accused of rape by Potiphar's wife and thrown in prison. Joseph would have never got in this prison. This was a significant prison. This was a Pharaoh's prison, this. He only got in there because Potiphar was one of his officials. And if he'd never been thrown into that prison, he would have never met Pharaoh's prisoners, his attendants, and interpreted their dreams for them. And if he hadn't interpreted their dreams, then they couldn't have told Pharaoh about Joseph, and Joseph couldn't interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And if Joseph hadn't have interpreted Pharaoh's dream, the world that they knew would have ended. Because there was a massive famine coming. But it's all right. God sent a man ahead of them. All of that put him in a place where actually God knew what he was doing. And David looked back, Joseph looked back over his life and said to his brothers later, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. For the saving of many lives." And you know something? Everything you're going through, if you're with God, it's for the saving of many lives. It's worth it. It'll be worth it in the end when you look back over your life. If God's training you, if he's testing you, it's for the saving of many lives. And if you're not going through what you're going through now, it won't connect you to the next bit of your story. That's just the sovereignty of God. It's true. Let's stand in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for your awesome power. We thank you, Jesus, for the purity that's available in you. We thank you for your precious blood. And if you want to be set free from any sexual immorality, any uncleanness, any shame about your past, any guilt, anything like that, there's absolutely no condemnation for you. God loves you. But I just want you to come and stand at the front here. Not to expose you, but for you to get free. And the blood of Jesus is going to set you free today. So if that's you, just quickly come and stand here. And I would imagine that's a lot of us. So don't, you know, be the last one. Be the first one. Something I've done many a time. Many a time. Getting free from sexual immorality. Because despite rumours, I am actually a man. And not an angel. So anyone else who's got flesh and blood in their veins, you want purity. The Holy Spirit is going to give you a gift of purity today. So don't miss it. Don't be proud. Don't think you're all right if you're not all right. Quickly come forward. God's going to meet you right down here. And it won't take long. But I tell you, it'll make a difference in your life. If you want to be clean. If you want to be free from shame. If you want to be free from guilt. If you want to be free from all that stuff. The Lord's going to forgive you, meet you. And he's going to do something special for you as well. He's going to give you a gift. The Holy Spirit is the Holy, Holy, Holy Spirit. And he can burn out anything and break every chain. Now, Lord, I just want to thank you so much for your wonderful, wonderful power and love. Thank you for your amazing grace over every one of us. Thank you for your precious blood, which was shed for us, your sinless blood. And we just receive that blood afresh right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You love sinners. You love us. You love us when we fail. You love us when we fall. You love us when we're real with you. You love us anywhere. But Lord, in your awesome love, right now, I ask you to break every chain of uncleanness. In the name of Jesus, we break every chain of uncleanness now in Jesus' name over every life, over every person, every habit, every guilt, every bit of shame. Leave now in the name of Jesus Christ, right now. And Lord, we just thank you that we belong to you. Just offer your body to him now afresh. Your body is really special to Jesus. He bought it with his own blood. And you belong to him. And he says, honor God with this body. And you're honoring him right now by coming forward. You couldn't honor him any other way. It's wonderful. He loves it. He loves it. He loves it. And there's going to be a people here prepared for revival. A people prepared for the Lord, for the move of the Lord. And this is so vitally important, this moment. If you know you should be down here, quickly come down now and don't wait. Just quickly come. And Lord, let every chain fall off every soul in the name of Jesus. Thank you that you were bound, Jesus, so we could be loosed. Thank you, Lord. You're so wonderful. You're so marvelous. You're so awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If you want to repent over any issue at work, and your attitude to work, why don't you come forward as well this morning, and we'll pray for you as well. Anything to do with work, you feel like, I'm just lazy, I need to change my attitude. Or your attitude to the church. I serve, but I do it with a big grump. And I moan about it. And I just come and repent of that this morning. Or if, your spirituality, you know, you feel like you let go of God. It goes down and you just think, where's God? He's not with me. He's not for me. Where's God? Where's God? He doesn't know what he's doing. And you want to trust him more. You come forward as well. Holy Spirit, thank you. Come and do wonders this morning for us. Keep receiving from him, folks. You at the front. He's broken chains off you now. And now he's going to just fill you and refresh you, wash you. And he's going to show you some practical things to do as well. So be listening to him. And just say yes to everything he asks. And then Christianity just works. It really works. Thank you, God, that you're real, you're alive. Can the ministry team just come and start praying for people here, please, as well, if you're free. You're part of the ministry team. You come and pray for people.